All right. Another exciting morning. Going off to work. Oh, all right. Ah. Trying to figure out what this extra noise is. This is Cohen Meander. You're listening to Jason Demero. I was watching, I often watch Gutfeld at some point. It's last night's version of it. And, you know, they're doing their normal stuff. Gutfeld is very much, number one, it's a comedy show. Don't get off of that. But it's a current events thing. And it's the comedy that he uses, especially for his monologue, stuff like that, is demeaning comparisons. You know, this situation that's going on right now reminds me of, you know, this person. You know, he's, always accused Jesse Walters of being bald and wearing hair pieces. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it is. Always gets on to Chris Christie for being fat. Always gets on, you know, a variety of things. His biggest thing is talking about, where's this guy coming from? Anyway, being politically incorrect. Not just not being politically correct, but taking it about two steps beyond that. Being publicly rude to people. You go, oh, I would never listen to Gutfeld. And you go, well, then you probably aren't going to have a good pulse on America, because a good chunk of America watches things like Gutfeld. Now, there are kind of left-leaning things, which you got to understand. Every single leftist is preachy and trying to show off their superiority. Well, I'm better than them. Even in their comedy, it's really quite interesting. Anyway, it was the normal stuff. Now, right now, a lot of people are just giddy, jubilant that Donald Trump won, and that Donald Trump won. Number one, being Donald Trump, which totally goes against the leftist / Democrat playbook, which is, you know, and Kamala Harris tried to play that, but, you know, at least from my standpoint, she wasn't convincing. When she said she cares about this people, I just got all the impression that all she was doing was pandering. saying the things that you need to say to buy people's votes when you have no intention of really doing anything about any of this. Not that others will push through the things that you've said, and you will say, well, you know, I said in my campaign that I would support this. You know, I would like to, for political reasons, not do it, but, you know, I don't want to look like the person that said something and then stood in the way of it. This is the way a lot of people used to play politics. You know, among people politicians are liars. You know, this is, they'll say one thing and then they'll do something else. And you'll sit there and go, well, is there anything that you really stand for? And you go, sure, there's one thing I really stand for. Power and gain. You know, I can't exercise my power and gain and enjoy the benefits of it. It's really amazing when you hear about how much money, you know, a congressperson makes something less than $200,000 a year. Lobbyists take them on junkets, trying to sway them one way or the other. The government has been a constant stream of, that's not true, that's not happening, stuff like that, and then 5 or 10 years later, it becomes so obvious that they don't even start denying it anymore. Because they feel so comfortable that even if they get caught doing something untoward, nothing really bad's ever going to happen to them, really. And many of the rules, especially in the legislature, in Congress, many of the rules shield them from misbehavior. I like that, misbehavior. And it's not misbehavior. It's wanton evil doing sometimes. Things that would get a normal person just trying to work his everyday life, get him put in jail. Insider trading on stocks and stuff like that based on information that you get through the regulatory process, which you freely share with everybody around you who's in government. That's insider trading, and it's a thing. There is actually businesses, things that people do to try to say, well, this is what these are Nancy Pelosi's stock picks for this month. They said, trust me, wink, wink. These things are going to do well. You know, we already know there's going to be a government contract given to these guys. Their stock's going to go up, blah, 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 blah. You know, and you should follow Nancy Pelosi's moves, because even though she only technically makes less than $200,000 a year, she's worth several hundred million dollars. And you go, how did she do that? Good financial planning? And you go, no, she did that because she has inside scoop on a lot of things, and she's wined and dined, and when she gets a good deal from a lobbyist, she rewards them. You know, it's a tit-for-tat thing. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. But for her, it's personal. You know, it's not like what I'm doing. You know, I'm sure they spend some time saying, oh, well, what I get here, is good for America. And you go, well, maybe. It says, can I tell you what else it is? It's making you extremely wealthy. And it breeds the kind of, this is my spot, this is my power, this is my stuff. I have gifts that I give out to people. And you go, that's corruption. And you go, yeah. It says, has it been for a long time? I said, sure. It's been forever. It says, what are you going to do about it? I says, I don't know. It says, Donald Trump speaks like he can do something about it. And you know what? He's a reasonably successful guy. He has a better chance than most. Now, he needs to have good advisors around him to help him do what he wants. His first term from 2017 to 2021, you know, the very beginnings of it, he couldn't do. You know, his whole problem was he was fighting just to figure out who was going to help him do things. He had to kind of live off the people that he had. You know, when he talked about draining the swamp, that was at the very end of his campaign the first time around. And he never really got to it because he was surrounded by swamp dwellers. And they were kind of, you kind of get the impression that everybody that he chose was subverting everything he wanted to do behind his back. If there was something that they thought they could use as a political football, the wall at the border was kind of a thing where it's like, you know what? They were pretty sure there was plenty of groups that didn't like that wall, and if he was able to do some of it, and they could show pictures of what he had done, that would swing a lot of voters the other way. And I guess in some level it did. Anyway, so yeah, he was being thwarted all during his presidency, even by people that he had hired to be part of his administration. And he kept people in that shouldn't have been. You know, of course he had the whole COVID thing that he had to deal with. That flopped over into the next administration. But the next administration did what government does. Well, something started. Yeah, and Joe Biden spent most of his time hanging almost everything around Donald Trump's neck. They got so brazen about their ability to do this, it became obvious. You know, the Department of Justice was being put to work to go after Donald Trump specifically for things that anybody else would do in the normal course of business in government. You know, where everybody else got a pass doing it, Donald Trump would do the same things, you know, take classified documents home to his home office and review them there instead of staying in the whatever skiff is set up at the White House, so that he's constantly at the White House and he can't do anything else but read all this stuff. Because he's kind of a hands-on kind of guy. He wants to know what's going on. I hope he's gotten to the point to where he has enough trusted lieutenants that he's found over the years to help him. And they can sit there in that skiff and read everything and basically give him the kind of advice he needs. You know, tell him what's in all these secret classified documents that so that he can do what needs to be done. He needs to keep all these other things at the periphery. It's very easy for the swamp, the system, the huge thing, to totally swamp you about every little nitpicky thing if you let it. And I think that was kind of his management style. And he didn't have a lot of trusted people. He had to take advice from people who knew Washington, and I think he got advice from bad sources. And he needed to, everybody said, boy, he would fire people. He was trying to run it like his business. His business, and the government's awfully big. So I think he's going a good route by saying, you know what, as much as I can do it, I am going to slim down, and get rid of the size of government until it's manageable. That's a good idea, is to make it manageable. And all the, like I said, I was watching Gutfeld, all the elation that was going on when it got around to Tyrus, former wrestler. He is a really clear thinking guy. And he said, you know what? He said, this was just kind of a battle. This is going to be a war, and those guys aren't just going to roll over and play dead. They're going to use every single machination they can get. And let me tell you, not all of the Republicans like Trump. There is a larger group of you can call them loyalists, which is what he really, really desperately needs to accomplish what he would like to do. He has to have people that are loyal to him and that are there to help him instead of kind of saying, oh, yeah, you have the same letter after your name, but that doesn't mean I have to help you at all. You know, those never-Trumpers, they used to call them. Anyway. Plenty of them are still in Congress. I see this thing on term limits, and you go, you know, that the problem with term limits is, and why I'm actually against them. I think they're a bad idea. I wish I could, as long as Trump is working to continue to build his base, which takes decades, honestly, to really pull off, I would like him to be able to be president as long as he can be, as long as he has, as long as he wins elections. Do I want there to be term? I don't think they should waste the time trying to get term limits passed. The only thing it'll do is shift more power to the dark secret underbelly that nobody can see and certainly nobody can affect. As long as those people with dark hearts have to get themselves elected to Congress and stuff like keep themselves elected to Congress. Um, I think it'll just drive it underground and make it much harder to get rid of. To have term limits. No, somebody will come in, they will immediately have a bug placed in their ear telling them exactly what to do and exactly what to say. Not that we don't have something akin to that right now, but right now we have a group of very prideful people who feel like that they have the power in Congress, they keep getting elected time and time again. But they're at least out there, and you can see them, and you can point at them, and you can go and grab them, and you can put them under a lens, you can scrutinize them, and hope to heck that their constituency at home isn't just, I vote for them because they were the person that got me that government job, and that makes my, and I make lots of money right now. Right now, I'm a government contractor. I'm not a government employee, but I'm just one step off from it. And I take it because it's the best money there is. Of course, they've got this really intensely easy way to separate you from your job. They'll just have your clearance pulled. I had that happen to a coworker of mine off in Oklahoma City. And he was just gone. One day he was there, the next day he was gone. They all said why they thought he was. He visited some psychologist, and they just had his security clearance pulled. And I always thought that wasn't one of the criteria that they could use. But apparently, it was the excuse that they gave. I don't know what happened. Usually you'll never know because it's just not, they don't have to say. There's so many different ways you can do it. Anyway, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to have the job I have now. I try to just be quiet, stay low, don't cause any problems for a soul. I don't do anything directly. I'm a support person. I take care of equipment and applications that go with equipment for an activity. And he says, my biggest thing is I keep everything running. I don't look at what's going on. I don't have any worry about that. I should probably make it till, because I've also got kind of a tricky thing to fill. They always say, it's tricky to fill that job. Anyway, I was just thinking, Tyrus came up and said, man, the fight is going to be so huge and everybody's going to be done against him as usual. But I think his first term let him know how that is. And I think he feels more confidence in that there are more people behind him that want this to happen. We still basically have a very extremely thin majority, like 50.1% of people want these things to change. The other bunch, for whatever reasons, don't want things to change. And I don't want to speculate what those are, because it's definitely a group of a lot of differing interests. A lot of, I've always thought that one of the biggest problems with having a really big government with a lot of people working for it is that that almost forms an important constituency that say, I want a big government. I profit off of a big government. I feed my family off of a big government. And I don't want government to get smaller. There's going to be some big hits taken when they decide to give pink slips to 50 or 75% of government employees, that they'll just disappear. And that, well, the thing you hope for is that they don't decide to outsource this to contractors. I'm funny because I work for a government contractor. It's difficult to see if I would stand to gain or not. Now, since the part of the government that I work for is the military, and Donald Trump has said that he wants the strongest, toughest, most competent military there could possibly be, but I'm probably going to keep my job, probably. I don't know. You know, I'm a little thing here, and I'm not going to talk about what I do or what I'm involved in. That's not important. Well, you know, but, you know, there could be a whole thing about cutting back on big-time contractors who are in bed with these kinds of organizations. And say officially they're not, because there's rules that say you can't be. But then it's kind of hilarious when they say, well, can you please do this for us, because we're kind of in bed with these people. And you go, I thought we weren't supposed to be in bed. And you go, boy, you don't know how this stuff works. We say one thing and we do another. And you go, yeah. That's dealing with government. Government is corrupting because of the power it wields. The most important thing is, One needs to try to reduce as much as possible their power. It's always a thing that said it was very important that we didn't have a standing army. That was something that was in the doctrine. I don't know what exactly happened to that. As far as I knew, that was enshrined in the Constitution. It has since, it's not, it's not, they found some way to get around that. It was done. Ages and ages and ages ago, we have a professional military, and we have a very, you know, it's just as big as it is during wartime. We don't have wartime anymore. We have made no distinction. Now there's a way you can look at it. You can say, oh, well, no, we don't go to war. But we sure help our allies. And you go, oh, that's great. And you go, maybe that's why we have a standing army. Or any number of things. But yeah. And they say, well, you're being Pollyannish. You always need to have a big army. And you go, only if you're trying to defend other places besides your place. The United States of America is in a good situation by and large. We have two large oceans between us, and anybody who would threaten to hurt us And you could say, oh, well, Cuba. And you go, that was something in the Soviet sphere. I don't know how really important these things are these days. Oh, anyway. I'll find anything else for you to say that. But yes, an uphill battle coming on a lot of things. I'm sure everybody has an opinion about what's the most important thing. Tyrus was talking about term limits. Like I said, I think that is an action that cuts both ways. If you get somebody who really gets a good understanding of how to get things done in Washington, and let me tell you, Donald Trump isn't going to get it just through his own mechanism. He has to get a larger group of supporters to learn how to get things to happen in government. He did a really good job his first time, but it was mostly through executive orders, stuff like that. And his hands are somewhat, he's somewhat hamstrung by the fact that he has to get a lot of his bigger decisions vetted through the legislature. And I'm sorry, even though people say, well, we've got the Republicans hold that, they go, but not people who are going to support Trump particularly. It says there's plenty enough people who are going to go and say, oh no, I am much more about the nanny state. I am much more about big government. You know, I'm much more about power and stuff like that. And I think you're going to see a lot of the labels, you know, for a whole long time, people have said, well, you know, the big overarching distinction is parties by party. You know, the Democrats do things this way, the Republicans do things this way. And you go, you know what? Because I think you're going to see a lot of that go away, and it's mostly going to be, are you for Trump or are you against Trump? And the little letter after your name is going to be a worthless thing. But we'll see. War might be able to happen than we can think. Luckily, there's some really smart guys that say, you know what, we'll do it this way, and we'll do it this way. And we've got, I wouldn't say that they've got a sympathetic Supreme Court, but not a Supreme Court that is political and left-leaning. They've been fishing to get the Justice Sotomayor changed out. Talk her into just retiring from the court so they can get somebody younger and much more left-leaning, which is funny because I thought that was the whole point of Sotomayor, except that Biden was just trying to get somebody multi-culti in there, and he did. Sotomayor is a Latino. or something. Nobody knows exactly what that means, but she doesn't mind it. And she has been fighting a return to originalist intent in the Supreme Court. But she needs to very quickly retire so that they can get somebody younger. She's also having some medical problems. And they go, well, she's only 70. And you go, yeah, there's plenty of people there that are older, but they're in better shape than she. And apparently Biden just isn't moving on this. And there's still some talk about Biden, about trying to convince Biden to resign the presidency so that Kamala Harris can be made the can be the president, if only for a month or two, and that she will do some of the things that the leftist power brokers, and Joe Biden's more of a centrist, and he's a slow mover. He doesn't like these nasty tactics that are getting done. I don't think Kamala Harris has any problem at all doing things nasty. But they have to talk Joe Biden into it. They've already made Joe Biden very, very, very unhappy to begin with. And so, you know, those guys might still do this. And it would be for purely reasons of they don't want Trump to be able to put in more originalist voices on the Supreme Court. They want to avoid that altogether. But let me tell you, it was like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Prideful right down to the end. I think people had told her, you know, while Obama's still in office, you need to retire so that we can replace you. And she's like, excuse me? No. I'm not going to do that. I've got, you know, I got here on my merits. I'm not going to play politics. But I think she was being mostly prideful. And so, yeah, they tried to keep her alive, but they couldn't do it long enough, and she died while President Trump was president. And of course, he chose somebody completely different. Even though they all said, oh, no, you need to keep the structure of the Supreme Court as it is. You need to get kind of a left-leaning progressivist judge to replace, you know, more like she was. It was like, excuse me, boy, are you confused? No. I'm not going to play that game. This is one of the things that gives that I get to pull. And there it is. Bing! You know. So. There's been floating around a lot of things around those. Number one, I don't think Joe Biden's gonna quit, even if those guys offer him, you know, Hawaii as his personal possession, as his personal fiefdom. He won't leave. So Kamala Harris is just not gonna become a president. They were saying, oh, will you make her a president because of this? But it's kind of, that's a little off. And then you have to get Sotomayor to resign. And I'm sorry, never known a judge yet who didn't have that mantle glued to their shoulders for as long as they could have it. They're not going to walk away. And there's a, you know, I don't think there has been anyone who conveniently retired. What was his name? Scalati? I can't believe I forgot his name. The one judge that you know, I'm sorry. I think he was executed because he stood in the way, and of course it got done during Obama, and Obama put in a non-originalist jurist, so that when people say, well, you need to put somebody who's kind of like the person who died, you know, fills the same role in the court. It's people who talk about balance, and you go, that's hilarious. Because Obama didn't do that. With his court picks, he took what, you know, he took the opportunities he could. So, yeah, you see all this stuff flowing around. Just don't worry too much about it because half of it just never happens. It's just a lot of wishful thinking from people that they think they can get others to do what they want. And understand power and gain. Once you get power, you're not going to give it up, even for that touted greater good. We don't have a lot of greater good people. The people who do it for the greater good, they don't tend to crow about it. To be honest, you know, laying it down for your party or for your ideology, that's kind of questionable whether that's really for the greater good or not. Because you don't know. You know, they may be running their own agenda and you're kind of unwittingly helping them. So when you get some authority, it's important that you steer it the way you want to, and that you don't just hand it over to somebody else. Now you do the best you can, and you do, you know. You have allies and stuff like that. I don't, but a lot of people do. That's just human nature to try to build up alliances. You might find out sometime later that you've been stabbed in the back by those who are supposedly your friend. And that's why I really don't make a lot of friends, you know, because I really don't need to be stabbed in the back. And I don't give people much of an opening that way to do such things. You know, don't get involved in something that you aren't somewhat prepared to just lose entirely and have it be destructive. You just don't do that. So anyway, on my way to work. So yeah, uphill battle coming, yes. Is this the first step toward doing something about something? Yes. You know, during the whole election, even if it was looking good for Donald Trump, I still had in my head Kamala could still figure out, or the people behind Kamala could figure out some way to still win this. Now, can I be honest? Were they perfectly willing to throw her under the bus? Yes. Are they perfectly willing to do it so that they can have more fodder to make sure that Trump and his ideas are good and solidly buried? You get a little bit more liberty and a little bit more freedom from government constraint is a two-edged sword, can I tell you? A lot of people want to be able to blame other people for problems. The vast majority of people don't want to be held responsible for what they do. I don't think any of us really want to be held directly responsible for what we do. And take the obvious fallout of your decisions. So I totally expect people to say, no, I want a big government. I want to be able to blame them for my problems. I want somebody just to throw money at me. You know, there's a huge group of people who are really excited about really socking it to the rich, taking away all their riches and handing it out to all the poor people. Of course, the poor people I don't mean to be rude, but most poor people can't do math. And they figure out that even if you take everything that rich people have, until they have nothing, therefore taking away any incentive for them to have employees and stuff that you actually depend on for your work, for getting your money and say, hey, that money's mine. And you're going, well, you know, Don't forget who was the founder of the feast, who made it possible, you know, and that you're actually helping them do their work. And you need to be grateful for that. And the biggest way to express that thankfulness is to not treat them like they're pariahs. And horrible, nasty people. Yeah. Not that rich people don't pull the same stunt as well. A lot of them like being CEOs of a company. They don't like owning a company some most of the time. Because that makes them directly responsible for what happens. They can't shove that off, you know. Well, I was just the CEO of the company. I didn't know that was going on. Therefore, I'm not, you know, I can't be held responsible for that. You have to go after somebody else. Or you can go after the corporation, but I'm going to take my golden parachute and float away while you guys destroy my corporation, liquidate it, do everything else about it. And they still stay pretty wealthy. And I'm not saying anybody's clean and pure out of any of this. It is far too easy to run toward wickedness or to let a bureaucracy, for instance, take the blame for things or just kind of paper it over and say, it's okay, we're going to pay you this much money for this amount of time as long as you qualify for our program. And you'll stay small. You won't try to make yourself a better person. You won't expand. You won't do better because you want to stay in that little thing. And I know I did that for a long time. And then one day I just woke up and said, I don't have to behave like that anymore if I don't want to. I can take opportunities, which I have. Let me tell you, discovered all kinds of fun things here I hadn't even really considered before. Anyway, so, uphill battle coming ahead. Got that from the Gutfeld Show and Common Sense Tyrus. And grateful for him that brings up this stuff while everybody else is getting jitty and dancing a jig and saying how wonderful it is that Donald Trump's the president. You go, that's just kind of the first step. So he's not going to have any friends. Everybody's going to be fighting him every step of the way. Because what he's going to be doing is basically tearing up a power base that's very entrenched and profits. You just don't want to know how many people it profits. And the kind of surgery he's doing is going to be extremely painful. And people are going to, and after it's done, it's like, you're going to have to learn a new way of being. Because you don't know just how much probably personal benefit you derived from the swamp, from the system the way it is, at least many people. Other people will do fine and be much happier, but that's not a very big group, to be honest. But that's how the American Revolution was anyway. It was really ginned up by a small group of people who found ways to motivate others to do this incredible experiment, national experiment. And I don't know if it was supposed to be able to provide liberty long term. I think it might have only been, it's like, well, we're going to have this for a few years, so you better enjoy it and try to enthrone what you can before the grinding power of corruption and evil start going in. And when it almost immediately, one of the first acts was the Sedition Act. And to a large extent, only because we're being threatened by England still, it's just because America was handed its independence through, various methods. Mostly, it was foreign powers like France and Spain who basically handed us our liberty by keeping England very engaged in another war on the continent. And they were spread thin, and England didn't have enough troops to keep up with both problems. So they just said, we're just going to let America win. And they well, they really lost the larger war, but they had to ultimately capitulate quite a bit. And one of the capitulations was that they were going to give up their North American colonies, at least some of them. And you know, we got to keep fighting. There was the War of 1812. We were still fighting for our continued independence. I don't know what that was tied to either. I don't know if we had big, big help in that particular war, but it just ended up being that we were strong enough that we made trying to reclaim us really hard. I think it had more to do with inertia than anything else. We had already pursued far enough down the road that enough things were entrenched that they couldn't be dislodged easily. And that's what we're fighting now, is a certain entrenchment I'm sure there's strategists that are working with Trump that are saying this is what you need to do first. And I'm hoping they're saying, and your biggest thing is to make the changes you can make and entrench them so that they're hard to get rid of. But they have to be the most efficacious. Getting rid of certain parts of government, of the federal government altogether, and just handing it over to the states is the kind of thing that once you can get that done, it's a horrible, it's like surgery. It's like taking out big chunks of tumor out of people. And, you know, it's disorienting. It's horrible. People don't like it. You know, you kind of got used to the way things were, and now things are going to change. And the whole problem with a whole lot of these things is that for a whole lot of people, they won't see it as a positive change. They'll see it as, well, wait a minute. I used to have a job that I couldn't be fired from, or I thought I couldn't be fired from. Now all of a sudden I don't have that job, and I've got to go, you know, and I don't have a skill set that anybody else really needs. You know, I was a bureaucrat. You know, if you really make it so that lobbyists can't really function, that the lobbyist doesn't need to hire me, because they're not going to be able to affect what needs to be done. You know, it's like having a huge big dance party. If you take out half of the partners, the dance stops. The dance just ends, and it's over. There's no more to it. And anyway. So, just being, once I start getting long stretches of not having said something, I probably need to stop. I'm starting to wander off into other territory. It's going to be rough. And nobody's going to know exactly what to do about any of it. And it can't be done in much of an orderly fashion. You just do it, and then you see the aftermath of it. I think the most important thing, and I think Trump is right, he says we need to have a really strong military. He says we need to make sure that our country is well defended when we're making all these huge, massive changes, because things are going to be weird. Things are going to be weak. It says, and to be honest, it says, you're not going to be able to depend on the government for much. If most of your business came from government buying and selling or doing some function for government, you know, you're probably going to have to figure out some other way to do what you do. You hope that whatever you're doing can translate to something else that people really need, probably more, a little more directly. Because other countries who would love to see us taken out and out of their way and stop bothering them, they're gonna take advantage of the situation. I'm totally surprised they haven't taken advantage of this kind of. This is Joe Biden is a new kind of lame duck. So much so that it's like he's not even there. And he goes, you know, I'm going to teach Donald Trump how to do a handover of power. And you go, you know, I said, it really doesn't matter. You know, we fold all the napkins here this way. And you'll probably want to do it this way too. You know, and you're going, I don't really care. I don't even know if we're going to have napkins. You know, the decorum of the White House, the prestige of the presidency that you need to hand over to somebody else from the opposite party. Or you go, no, it's just, you guys should know about Trump by now. He's not that kind of a guy. He'll do things his way. The hamburgers are coming. Donald Trump's a hamburger kind of a guy. Anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and stop this and ponder other thoughts. And so, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to title this, Gutfeld Tyrus War. That might be pretty good. Except that he's not going to be the one doing the war. You can tell everybody else how important liberty is and how important not to have a big overreaching, you know, a government that says, oh, you don't have to trust, you don't have to be nice to your neighbors or particularly trust them. We'll make sure everybody has to behave properly. And you go, oh whatever. I don't know. Regardless. We'll figure out what to call it later. Talk to you later. Bye.